Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
This is Jochen Graf.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I
won't get a bounce, then it's free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. You are listening to the Unused Substitutes Show. We are your green and gold gospel, your only source for year-round Rowdies coverage. We are live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network. We are presented in part by Roughneck Scarves. My name is Stephen Cundiff, and tonight, on this day of days, I am running solo tonight, so if that bothers you, if that disappoints you in some way, for one thing, I don't care. Two, I will say tune out now, because you're going to be hearing a lot of me, so I hope you're excited for that, right? Because all these people are going to not tune out and are going to listen, because we're the Unused Subs and you like punishing yourself for content. We love you guys. Thank you so much for sticking around. If you want to tweet me or tweet the show, of course, at Unused Subs Pod is the master account. My Twitter, of course, is at @_S_Cundiff. We had a preseason game. It is so excited. We've got a couple of schedule announcements because there's been a couple of updates, including the announcement of the home opener. And, of course, a little bit of a slight mini teeny eensy wee preview for this upcoming preseason game. Oh, so some of you, of course, saw the lovely photograph that Issa took of Matt, Dan, and I at this past weekend's Tampa Bay Rowdies game at South Georgia Tormento. Beautiful picture. I'm surprised it didn't crash the internet, but you know, it is what it is. We'll go ahead and take it and love every second of it. The Tampa Bay Rowdies, of course, played South Georgia Tormenta, a team that, in terms of preseasons past, has given us quite a bit of a run. They, for a team that's not necessarily the most successful in League One play, we've really struggled at times with, of course, our preseason roster to get results against them. Not this time. Of course, the Tampa Bay Rowdies did win 2-1. All the goals scored in the first half. So I'll go ahead and quickly give you a rundown. Of course, the club, of course, with our old Unused Subs alum, Jake Nutting, of course, being the master tweeter, did announce, and of course, if you were following along, know the lineup. If you weren't following along as closely, the team that we trotted out for the first half started with Evan Lauro in net. We had Connor Antley, Forrest Lasso, and Aaron Guillen start along the back line. We had Sebastian Dalgaard, Lewis Hilton, Max Lakowecki, and a trialist in the midfield. And then up top, officially, we had Steinberger, Gonzotti, and Adebayo Smith. Now, of course, technically, that's how the lineup is presented. Full disclosure, I was unable to make the first half. So I only showed up about maybe 5 minutes left. So unfortunately, I don't have any real insight into that one. And since I'm running solo, the two pod mates that did get to witness it aren't going to be able to share their thoughts. Of course, Matt did put up a bit of a written summary of the game from his point of view up on the unusedsubs.soccer website. So yeah, certainly visit the website. You can catch his version of what he saw for the first half in the game as a whole. Dan, unfortunately, is not available tonight, so hence me being solo. I'm suspecting Steinberger in that lineup, even though he was technically listed as a forward in the official tweet, probably played that attacking midfielder role that we saw him play for most of the times that we saw him play last year. Wouldn't surprise me in the least. Again, 2-1, first half result. The goal that South Georgia Tormenta had was described as a bit of a communication mix-up. It happens. It's preseason. No big deal. The two goals, of course, scored by Adebayo Smith and Guizzi. Sebastian Gonzotti, of course. Second half, we saw, obviously, it's preseason, multiple changes, but there were a couple of interesting items that we did see get trotted out. Of course, Lauro stayed in the net for the entire game, so we had some consistency there. The back line got changed completely around. So Jordan Scarlett came in, played as a right defender as always. Connor Antley stayed in the game. We had a trialist in the game. And of all people, Jordan Doherty, of course, with that beautiful bald head of his, since he did, of course, shave his head, if you guys didn't see the photographs on social media this week. The beautiful bald boy played as the center back. Now, granted, what's interesting about that, it was a comment that we've had from last season, which was, if Forrest Lasso ever gets a double yellow or some unlikely red card or just yellow card accumulation or, you know, God forbid, an injury, who would fill in for that backup spot as a center defender? Because, of course, as a back three, the entire thing hinges. That's your last line of defense. He has to play, whoever's in that role has to play perfectly. So in the early preseason here, it looks like against South Georgia, Neil Collins decided to give Doherty a shot at it. You could tell, watching that game, there was definitely a bit of rust there as far as, besides the fact that it's the first official preseason against an opponent team that you a bunch of players you haven't seen before, you could tell that it wasn't necessarily his natural position, but that's okay. We still got the shutout in the defense. Of course, playing in that, the rest of the field, as far as players, we had Harris, we had Ekra, Lakaweki, Tejada, and M. Kasana up top, and Cerbelli playing as an attacking mid. The one thing that I did notice, personally speaking, and if you're watching a preseason game, this is something you have to keep in the back of your head at all times. Players that are trialists, players that are new, for that matter, are going to be trying things in a preseason match, especially that are probably a bit higher risk, probably low odds plays, arguably bad decisions in some ways, you know, high risk type situations. But that's because they're trying to get noticed. They're trying to either fight their way onto the club in general, as in the case of a trialist, or, of course, if you are somebody like, say, a Cerbelli, trying to fight to get yourself onto a potential roster rotation for the starting 11. So one of the things that you're going to see a lot in preseason, of course, this is true for any preseason, right, is a lot of players making a lot of weird choices or coming in hard or coming in and making a pass that you just don't understand. Like, you know, trying to cross the field to, say, Lucky running down the left-hand side rather than just playing the short pass to the corner with Harris, Dayon Harris. You know, you wouldn't necessarily see those types of plays happening, you know, in a regular season game. That's just not something that you'd have. You know, you would get probably benched for doing things like that repeatedly in a regular season game. But with preseason, there's a certain element of risk you have to take as a player. So you're going to get criticized for it. You're going to get judged, but that's the, it's all through colored lenses. You have to be able to let the players try and earn that spot. Because of course, you know, if all of those crazy decisions end up working, then your player looks like he's Ronaldo. But, you know, obviously that's probably not happening 9 times out of 10. So, you know, that's why most trialists don't necessarily get picked up, and why you don't hear about a lot of players that, you know, try out during the regular that are in training camp halfway through the season that don't get signed, and you never hear about it. That's what's going on. They're making risky decisions because they need to. The biggest change when it came to substitutions in the second half, that's absolutely the most notable of all things, was when Antley and Lakowecki came out. They were replaced by a couple of young academy kids, one of whose name you've heard before. Julio Plata and Brian Aguiar came in as substitutes and got to play against South Georgia Tormenta. That is awesome. I love the fact that these guys are getting minutes early, potentially getting a situation set up where maybe they can come in, cross fingers, for a game that, you know, we're blowing out, or a game that we maybe need some just roster depth if injuries are happening. That was really, really, really cool to see, especially coming off of a year, in Julio Plata's case especially so, where, you know, that opportunity last season was taken from them. You know, the fact that they were on the roster ready to go and couldn't get a chance to even crack the field, that was a gut punch to everybody as a result of COVID. It was nice that we were able to see those guys out there. And I'll say this, you can tell they're young. You can tell they're green. You know, they're not as big as some of these other guys that are in their mid-20s, obviously. They are a little late on tackles, certainly. So a couple of guys were a little upset about some, feet getting stepped on and such from South Georgia. But at the same time, you could see why they have this invitation to play with us. You know, they had a very, again, young, green, but a very good touch. You could see the ounces of creativity. You could see the nuggets of what makes a player like a professional. These are not kids that are going to end up being an Alphonso Davies going into MLS at 16 years old and eventually going to Bayern Munich and getting Canadian national team minutes in like 3 or 4 years. That's not who these two guys are. You know, these aren't people that are going to crack the U.S. national team or whatever their national team affiliation is. But you can see the nuggets are there for development. And that's the important thing, because that's the type of players that we need to be able to give the exposure to potentially give them a chance at getting to MLS. Again, you guys know how I feel. You don't have to be Ronaldo to be considered great. You don't have to be Ronaldo to have a long, successful professional career. Chris Wondolowski is ridiculed for what happened in the World Cup, but the man has had one heck of a career and is still playing and still getting results and still making a bunch of money. You don't have to be a world beater to be successful. And that's what's really cool about getting, you know, Tampa Bay United and some of the other affiliate teams, of course, that we have in the Bay Area with the Tampa Bay Rowdies. That's what makes that so cool, is giving chances for guys to get the minutes, get the experience, and find out what it actually takes to get to that level. Find out how much actual hard work it does to stay at that level. And you only get that hands-on. You don't learn that in a training pitch, you know, with your local league on a Tuesday and Thursday night type of deal. That's not what that's going to teach you. So I was really, really super happy about it. My good, bad, ugly for this game. I'm not going to do uglies. It's been a pet peeve of mine. If we win the game, I'm not doing an ugly unless it really seriously calls for it. So my good and bad. Good, of course, are the goals. Most notably, of course, is Adebayo Smith. Now, Jordan, he looked really good. I'm just going to completely go out there and say it. We were given some nuggets, again, Jordan is the player from, you know, basically he started out here in the States, went to very lower division England to try and start his professional career, didn't necessarily get a starting rotation, so came back over here and we picked him up. He looked really good for the first preseason game. Really good. So that is definitely something that we're going to keep an eye on. It's going to be interesting to see if he can continue to impress in preseason games, how that necessarily, you know, does that permanently bump Tejada off of the starting lineup and have Sebastian and Jordan play up top together? That's going to be a very fascinating question to see answered over the course of this year. I mean, considering Tejada wasn't necessarily a full-time starter last season, you know, Lucky is certainly not a full-time starter at this point in his career. So that's going to be something very interesting to see, but it was definitely amazing and fun to watch Jordan play. He got the goal in his first Rowdies semi-uniform. That was brilliant to watch. Speaking of Tejada, unfortunately, I will dub thee my bad for the week. Apologies for all the sensibilities to everybody who absolutely loves Jordan, loves Juan. I love Juan too. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a great player. He missed a couple of just absolute sitters. I mean, these were, here's where it was bad. It wasn't just that, like, they were saved and maybe it was just a weak shot. He missed the frame a couple times on a couple of plays that, I mean, he really wasn't under any serious pressure. And I don't know. That's just some cobwebs. I get it. It's preseason. I'm not reading anything into it. But that was really unfortunate, especially in light of the first half that Jordan had, scoring a goal in his first appearance and getting the rave reviews he did from everybody watching. That was really unfortunate that Juan couldn't step up and finish those chances. I mean, because ultimately that's what he has to be. You know, I think Neil at one point, you know, said it, like, on one of his missed opportunities, Neil had shouted from the sideline something like, that's your goal. That's your kind of goal. And it's true. It's the poacher, I'm going to get lost in the middle of the field on a cross, and suddenly I'm going to be the shortest guy on the field with the longest hair, and I'm going to be completely open on a cross. That should never happen, but he does it repeatedly. You know, I'm going to be the player that if the ball gets, you know, squirted out by a goalkeeper or something and just drops in there, that I'm just going to be there to finish it off and finish up this mess that the defense has given me. That's Juan's types of goals. Juan's not going to necessarily beat anybody on a breakaway. He just doesn't have that pace. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're not finishing those types of goals, then you're really risking your long-term credibility as a striker in the development. You know, again, he's a young guy making appearances at the U23 level with Panama and such. Like, he has to be able to show that he's becoming a consistent lethal threat. He had a heck of a drop-off last season in that category for certain. So we've got to get him back up there, and he has to get himself back up there. And sometimes bad luck happens, and you have to be able to mentally find a way to overcome that. Because, again, you're going to get lulls. I would chalk up last year to a sophomore slump. Hopefully he's able to shake off those cobwebs and come back into his first year form here coming into year three. So, like I said, if I had to dub anybody, I'm dubbing the Juan Tejada as my bad for the week. Not to take anything away from the guy, I love him to death, and I hope his success of the year. And I hope, of course, he gets more opportunities in preseason to show that, yeah, he is developing the way that we need him to. I think overall, though, you know, with a game that has so many individual players in it, I mean, obviously we had something like 15 or 16 guys, if not more than that, officially playing in this match this week. when it comes, I don't know if you can necessarily pick a man of the match per se, but if I had to do one, I'm going to actually be a little strange about this decision because it's me and that's what I do. Matthew Cerbelli was all over the place. All over the place. Again, I'm jaded. I only caught the entirety of the second half, not the entirety of the first. But of what I saw, I was very impressed with him. He was hard on the tackles, but he was everywhere on the pitch, causing mayhem, causing havoc, challenging goalkeepers in preseason games and earning, you know, forcing maybe a corner kick or, you know, a goal kick at times. Just, you know, if they were trying to play it out of the back, he was not letting them get comfortable. I was very impressed with his work ethic in that role, and especially when you consider the fact that he's challenging for a role that does not have a very solidified lineup to it. You know, your attacking midfielders right now is basically, you know, Cerbelli, as I mentioned, but, you know, Steinberger, maybe Lewis Hilton, maybe Jan Ekeris challenging for that spot, but, you know, none of those are an absolute shoe-in right now. And last year, of course, we had a lot of rotation in that spot. So I thought that was interesting. I thought he did a really good job putting his signature on that game and that half that he got to play. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see how that looks going forward, which let's talk about forward because... What do we have? We have the official announcement of the Rowdies' first game for the regular season in 2021. We will start at home, ladies and gentlemen, May 1st against the snooze fest known as the, you know, Charlotte Independence. Ooh, everybody's just so excited to play Charlotte Independence. This is my totally super serious and not at all sarcastic voice. It's okay though, guys. It's okay. 38 days now and ticking to the season opener. I am very, 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 very excited, of course, to be able to get back into the stadium with all of you, not just, you know, me, myself, and I. Which, of course, is totally a reference to my two podmates. Of course, the other item that was announced as a part to that is officially the announcement of where they're going to cap attendance to start the year. As, of course, the team is selling tickets, they're trying to get season ticket deposits because, of course, everything is restricted by pod size and spread out in the stadium. Right now, as it stands, the season will open at 1,700 seats. That's about where we were for the postseason game last season to end 2020. It's about what we expected going into this year. But of course, that being said, what else have we been talking about for the last couple weeks when we're, you know, looking forward to what the season's going to look like? Estimates right now from government officials are saying that hopefully we should have, you know, widespread vaccines available at least for most of the adult population going into May. Probably no later than June. If that ends up being the case, and we actually have the ability of getting most of us vaccinated by, say, the end of June, then maybe potentially at, like, say, starting around July, we could really make a serious effort to really reopening things back to normal. Crossing fingers at the moment, that's a best-case scenario. So, again, assuming there's no hiccups, assuming nothing else comes up between now and then, that would make sense, at least in my mind. So, 1,700 seats to start the season, and hopefully more later that will end up coming in. More than likely, what I would anticipate is probably, if I'm thinking in the Rowdies business train of thought, You've obviously got your season ticket price for people that are paying from day one, or people that are carrying over their tickets from last season. I would think that as seats become available, as the capacity gets expanded, and depending on the pace of that, you might see a mid-season push for half-season tickets. And maybe the potential at, say, if you buy a half-season ticket in 2021, you know, maybe it'll, you know, you'll get the usual, like, postseason benefits. But then maybe as kind of a hook to get those people interested in getting those tickets, even if it's just for a half season, would be to, you know, lock in your rate for 2022 or, you know, maybe get it, you know, in general, because I'm sure that'll be some sort of a discount for the 2022 in general. Like, that would essentially be my theory about how they might potentially market that. Because I'm sure, and I know for a fact, that there are Rowdies fans that aren't interested in going to games yet, that have season tickets, they had them from last year, and at the moment or whatever, they're just not comfortable going to games, even at a reduced capacity. I respect every one of you that make that choice. No judgments cast in any way, shape, or form. So it's going to be interesting to see how the club markets to folks as the capacity gets expanded. That's how I'm picturing it in my head at the moment, is half season ticket passes that lock in your rate for 2022's full season, hypothetically, cross fingers, hoping everything's back to normal. I would think that makes sense to me, just looking at it from a business perspective. We'll see what the club does, but it's, you know, that's the point of a fan-made podcast, right? Do a little speculation, have some thoughts cross your mind that you wouldn't necessarily think of on your own, because we love you guys. That's why we're here. Before, of course, we get to the regular season, there is the preseason. We did have one additional game officially announced. One of those open weekends with a to-be-announced opponent did officially get confirmed, and a date, April 11th at Al Lang Stadium, we will now officially be playing, and I'm going to keep calling them this because I hate the new name, the Montreal Impact. Pretty much a team that we've seen before, team that we've, you know, pretty familiar with going back all the way to 2010, of course. Montreal Impact, April 11th. I am excited about that. I think it's really cool. I love getting more and more MLS opponents for preseason. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. And of course, because it's at Al Lang, that means hopefully I'll be able to be gracious enough to get accepted to watch and be able to, you know, give my thoughts on it to all of you listening, because I know there's so many. On a bit of a lighter note, I hope all of you saw last, I think was it two seasons ago, a gentleman that I believe is out of Great Britain does a particular type of art. Almost like, I don't want to call it line drawings because I'm not an artist and I don't want to get the wrong terminology involved. But it's a very particular type of art style that he uses of various stadiums around the world. Really, really, really cool pieces of art. Matt, I know for a fact, bought one and framed it and put it up on his wall in his computer podcasting den. Well, that gentleman, Football Stadium Prince, if you follow him on Twitter or you want to look him up because you're interested in seeing if maybe he has your club there, has released a new couple of drawings for some different color schemes with green and yellow and, you know, white involved of Al Lang Stadium. These views are from basically more of an above level compared to the first ones that he did a couple years ago, which were very similar to Forrest Lasso's photograph on Twitter this week. And I guess maybe Instagram too, but I don't do Instagram. Because, I mean, come on, who needs to do Instagram? I don't take photographs. I still think photographs of me are going to break the internet. Come on now. The Football Stadium print that was just released, I believe this week, of Al Lang is another beautiful piece of art. I love what he does with our stadium. It's so good. So, so good. I mean, in all honesty, his work, no matter the stadium that he's doing, whether it's Al Lang Stadium or it's a soccer field in the middle of a little island in the Faroe Islands, what he does for art is absolutely perfect. I love his style, and he has absolutely not let us down again. It is great. If you are an aficionado for things rowdies, and you love getting a lot of these like trinkets or memorabilia that are just rare pieces, absolutely 100% go visit this guy and consider giving him some support. It's such a good piece. And you can get it like on a shirt, on a mug, like you can get a traditional print to put up on the wall. Absolutely consider that if you're able to, because it's absolutely worth every penny. That being said, I want to make sure everybody's kind of clear on this too. I love supporting people that are making merchandise about the club that are not the club themselves, because it means exposure, it means excitement, it means people are talking about the club in different venues that you wouldn't necessarily expect to see, but also the club can't do it all themselves, so like you have to have these more independent ideas coming out, whether it's football stadium prints or even something closer to home, like say if we release our own merchandise, you know, it's going to be Rowdy's themed inherently. I mean, it's going to have our pod logos on it, but it's going to be team themed to a certain extent. The supporter groups, of course, they, you know, they have to get raise money for TIFO projects and things like that, but you know, they're still releasing merchandise that's going to be team themed. Don't forget about the club too. I know, I'm hearing it now. Hours and hours of complaints about the club's, let's just say, lackluster online sales presence. Okay? I understand. I for one, am totally okay with what happened with the in-person store getting closed down at Sundial. I know there wasn't a whole lot of options we had there. That's fine. I get that it irks some people that we don't have a store open exclusively for Rowdy's gear. I'm not necessarily concerned about that because I know the economics behind it, like, in reality, didn't necessarily support that. But as much as I love seeing things like football stadium prints and stuff, the nugget in my mind is, when was the last time you bought something from the club when it comes to merchandise of any kind, whether it's a shirt or a polo or a hat or, you know, anything at all? I can see that a lot of people will get excited about a stadium print that is beautiful, a piece of art about Al Lang, you know, from somebody random over there, and is maybe they're willing to drop, you know, $30 or $40 to get a big, like, oversized image of that. When was the last time you dropped $20 for the club as far as the own merchandise store? That's still an important thing. That's still something that helps drive revenue to the club. Granted, I know a lot of the people listening to this might be season ticket holders, and there's kind of a, you know, I mean, certainly, I'm one myself. You know, I certainly understand, like, I'm already giving the club money. They don't need any more of it. I get it. You know, everybody's got to count their pennies. Certainly, I get that. But every time I see somebody making some really, really cool merch, that thought comes into my head. You know, where you don't want the club to make zero and have all of these other merchants or artists or designers or organizations making, you know, potentially hundreds or thousands and leaving the club out to dry, because ultimately, while it's cool to get all that exposure, none of that necessarily directly supports the club. So there's always that mixed, it's always that mixed bag of emotions. So as excited as I am about that, keeping in mind, of course, that, you know, like the Rowdies are doing a promotion right now. Like this, the football stadium prints dropped at the same time that for the month of March, the club is doing like a little promo where you get like a Rowdy's pin, I believe is what it is, for orders over 50, I think. Don't quote me on that. I might have overshot it, but like they're doing an active promotion right now that I haven't seen anybody talk about. But the moment somebody makes an artwork of Al Lang from the same artist that did one a couple years ago, all of a sudden it blows up all over social media. So just keep that in mind. I'm not saying don't buy football stadium prints. I'm not saying you have to go buy, you know, Tampa Bay Rowdies gear. See if there's an equal way of balancing that at least. Like if you're going to drop $40 for an oversized print, you know, for one of the big giant prints of the football thing, consider dropping $20 for the club and getting a hat you don't own. Or maybe $30 for a shirt. Have you got your championship Eastern Conference shirt? If not, why are you buying the football stadium print? Just a thought. Just a thought. Next week, or should I say this Saturday, the Tampa Bay Rowdies, of course, are playing, as you all know, Inter Miami. Now, that's going to be a very interesting match because I don't necessarily know the type of club Inter Miami is going to be bringing this week. So let's take a look at Inter Miami based on 2020's results. They finished with a 7-13-3 record. It did not turn out great, but then again, it was a new club. You know, I mean, it is what it is. Negative 10 goal differential overall, finished in 10th place. Officially not a... They did make a playoff appearance, but were, I believe, a one and done. If memory serves, they had a COVID outbreak and lost to Nashville. If I'm basing my memory correctly, I think it was a 3-0 loss is how they ended their season. This will be, officially speaking, the first preseason game for this season for Inter Miami. At least to the public, in the context of a not-secret scrimmage game. So I'm not necessarily sure what's going to happen. The reason why this is their first game is because last weekend, they were supposed to play Miami FC. And unfortunately, I believe it was a COVID positive test from not a player, but somebody associated closely with the teams and players. There was a last-minute positive test, and so the teams backed out and did a postponement of the game as a result of that. So caution ruled the day. Totally understand that. I don't think anybody would fault them for that. But it does present this very interesting scenario of if they had played that game and say most of them were starting, you know, starter players, would we have seen mostly the Fort Lauderdale, you know, B team? Well, I guess Fort Lauderdale would be the C team because the B team would be the bench for MLS. So USL League One would be the third stringers, if you want to really be specific about that. So, you know, we'll have to see what this actually looks like. That actually presents the idea that players like, what is it, Pizarro or whatever his name is, might actually be on the field playing. I believe we played against the likes of him last year, if memory serves. This could be a very interesting high-quality match, at least for Rowdies to get some traction under their feet here. Now that, you know, we're getting into the teeth of the MLS portion of our schedule. This game starts the first of officially so far four MLS teams that we will play in a row with announced, you know, with publicly announced scores. So, you know, this is going to be something that's the players themselves are going to take seriously. You know, obviously, we're going to be doing our best we can to cover the games to the best of our ability, of course, because none of us are professionals at this. We're just doing this out of love. But of course, the team is coached by Phil Neville. That was announced back in January, and they did have several players go ahead and hang up the boots or get cut and go somewhere else, like notably Luis Robles, if I'm not mistaken, announced his retirement. He was their starting goalkeeper last year, which means if memory... Right? Yeah, John McCarthy, ex, of course, Tampa Bay Rowdies goalkeeper, I believe was their backup last year. And I think that might mean that maybe we'll see him back at Al Lang Stadium as a starting keeper for Inter Miami. So, again, without having a preseason game last year, I don't know if that's going to be the direction Miami's taking with this and Phil Neville, but that's a possibility that we might see McCarthy in for Miami this weekend, which will be cool to see him hang out and, helmet, everything still going on, I'm sure. I'm not making predictions. We didn't do one last week for this game. I'm not doing one this week for this game because it's not the point, right? You're playing these games not for the results. We could lose 4-0 and actually have a really good preseason game. You know, it. Of course, it's nice to win. Of course, it's nice to win against a interstate rival, quote unquote, even though it's not really a rival. They just happen to be close to us. I just want no injuries, and I just want clean soccer in terms of movement on the ball. I want to see creative attacks. Goals will come. We don't have to beat an MLS team to prove that we can score goals at the USL Championship level. I just want good flowing soccer. We saw some of that last week. We saw some good runs. We saw some players taking some chances and opening up some plays. We saw a few good off-the-ball movement type runs. We need more of that. We want to make sure we're up to speed when the season begins on May 1st. Let's just kind of take a chill pill. I know everybody wants to beat the interstate team, but take a chill pill. Let's watch the game. We'll let you know what we see, of course, and anything that we might notice. But let's go out and have a good time. If we beat them, we beat them. But I'm not taking anything from it. It's a new coach. There's a lot of player turnover over there. It's preseason for us, so it kind of doesn't matter. I'm sure we're going to have a few more trialists out there. This game doesn't matter. If we play them in the Open Cup, then it matters. Wake me up then. But we'll definitely report, let you know what's going on to the best of our abilities, of course. So I'm going to go ahead and sign it off on that note. We love yous for this week. I'm going to go ahead and give my we love you to Dan, Matt, and Jake. And I'm going to do that obviously because, well, none of them are here. But Dan had a heck of a week this week. He got his COVID vaccination process started this week. So good on him. So he's taking the night off just because he's basically exhausted, which good on him. Matt, of course, always just being a bud, always helping me through things, even when he's going through stuff himself. I appreciate him helping me out, letting me be able to do all of this with him. And of course, even solo, because this is, you know, his baby, really, if we're being honest. And of course, Jake, for allowing us the access to the club to be able to go to these closed door games, to be able to give you some insight for those that can't necessarily go and watch through the fence or whatnot, just to give you an idea of what's happening on the field, let you know what's going on with the team. So my we love you goes to all three of the guys. And of course, we thank you to Wolfface for providing the amazing intro music, to Radio St. Pete for giving us this platform to do these live shows on, and potentially maybe actual radio one day, not just the website. We'll cross that bridge. Shamrock Pub, of course, our super secret bunker location during COVID. We love every time we get to go down there and see all the people live and get our immediate reactions. Of course, I can't wait to go down to Sarasota again and broadcast from the pub. If you are listening, please, please share this with other Rowdies friends. If you can, subscribe to the show on whatever platform you're listening to us, iHeartRadio, Spotify, you name it, we're on a podcast platform. We're on all of them. So give us a ratings. So that way it kind of gives us a bit more exposure, and write a little review. It does help us get some notices from those platforms because they do share it when those things happen with others. It's free advertising. If you want to take your love of the podcast a step further, Patreon is the number one way to do it. Starting from just simply $1 a month, $12 a year. You can help us cover the bills of running this podcast, the equipment we use if something breaks and we have to replace it short notice. The Patreon does immensely help with that. So we appreciate everybody who is a Patreon subscriber, and we always welcome more. Thank you, of course, to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. And if you are tired of the same old uniforms and cookie cutter templates from Nike and Adidas, and you're looking for a unique, completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league squad, or maybe even if you are on a pro team, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new kit today at IcarusFC.com. Well, I hope that at least somebody is still listening. The live shows by yourself are definitely not the most fun thing to do. It's obviously not the most ideal, but of course we carry on anyways because we love this club. We love all of you guys as Rowdies fans, Rowdies supporters. If you're a player or an executive or, you know, just some random person that happened to find a website with a link, we love every one of you for listening. So thank you. We will be tweeting at you this week from, of course, the stadium, specifically on Saturday, letting you know what's going on there. Thank you guys for listening tonight, and go Rowdies.
Kicking the grass.